The following presentation was recorded at the 2012 Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute. More information at thedocforlearning.org.
We do have handouts that they'll be passing out. Feel free to take those. They'll make more copies if we don't have enough of those. Maybe while they're passing that out, I'll give you a little story of a person I met in South Central Ohio, Perry County, to help you with an appreciation for the privilege that we have from our government for our schools. I was talking to a grain farmer who was a former school teacher in a public school. He was on the school board at the present. I'm sure it was in the area of Lancaster, Ohio. And he mentioned how that in their school board meetings, they generally had prayer. Someone led in an audible prayer at those meetings. And here recently, someone kicked up about that, and they stopped that. No prayer at your board meeting. I'm not sure, was it an individual who didn't like it or what? But now they have a moment of silence, I believe. Something we can be thankful for. I do want to welcome each of you to our session here this morning. I trust we can share together, we can learn and benefit so that our schools can be helped, so that our schools can be encouraged, and you as board members. It's in the name of Jesus that we greet you. We can be thankful for the church, for the support that we have from the church to see after the work of the school. I'm also privileged to have at least one of my board members here this morning. There's different ones that I know, some that I don't. I do have some questions that I'd like to ask, and I'd like to have some input from you brethren. Experiences that you have had in your schools, things that you have learned, things that you know work. I appreciated the thoughts that were given this morning, the thought in the devotional of coming apart. And I think as we as board members, as we are willing to come apart, to learn of God, we can be effective. Our title is How to Be an Effective Board Member. That title is not real hard to understand and yet makes the difference. Turn with me to Psalm 78. I'd like to read some verses this morning in the onset. The topic on vision that we heard was very important. And I believe that we as board members in our attitude toward education, toward the school, toward doctrine of God's word is going to have a difference, make a difference in our schools. You'll find these two verses at the top of your handout. Maybe we'll briefly go down through the handout here in just a little bit. I'd like to read verses 6 and 7 of Psalm 78. You can ask yourself the question this morning, what is my purpose, what is our purpose in having this school? And I think if our purpose does not go beyond our education, we could ask ourselves, are we wanting to produce doctors and lawyers and strong businessmen? But here in these verses, I'd like for us to see what our purpose should be. Verse 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Through our session this morning, let's keep that in mind. Can we draw the minds of our children, our teachers, our parents, that their hope be set in God? If we can have a fear of God coming through to the lives of our children, we've accomplished something. And that's not always an easy task. It's not always easy. One thought that I might give now, and you can think about it, and maybe in a question form, how important is the stability of the home in the good function of the school? Well, we say it's very important. But you know, at times we find that there are dysfunctional homes in our schools. There are homes that are not stable. And we can work with a certain amount of that. But if you have a lot of dysfunctional homes in your school, you have a problem. And it's going to be very difficult. But take that challenge as a board to work with those children, those students that come from homes like that. See if you can help them, and you as teachers as well. How important is the stability of the home? Turn with me to Romans chapter 15. I'd like to read verses 1 through 6. And some verses here in working together as a board. And if we want to be effective, the idea of working together is very important. And that can add to the effectiveness of our product. Verses 1 through 6. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's briefly go down over the outline that I have. There are spaces there. Feel free. You take the notes as you desire. Maybe before I do that, I'll give a little explanation here on the word effective. The dictionary gave the idea of producing a desired effect, ready for service or action, able to produce, bringing something about. The word effect would mean have the idea of the power to bring about a result. Bringing about a result. I have 5 points. The first is effective in promoting a vision, effective in taking responsibility. 3, effective board meetings. 4, effective in our relationships. Effective in making decisions. It definitely could be a variety of things that we look at as a board. Some of you probably find yourselves coming from a large school, and the way that you operate might be somewhat different than what we do. We're from a small school, about an hour and 15 minutes west of here. We're fairly small scale. We have 3 board members. There's some that are, 5? Is there anyone here, any school represented here that has more than 5 board members?
9,
okay. 7? We have 3. We are small scale. But we enjoy that. And I'm sure that you have enjoyable times of blessing together. We want to hear from you. Those of you that are from the larger schools, we'd like to hear your
your input as well. I have the verses in Ephesians there. I don't think we'll take time to turn to those. We may refer to the verses in Luke a little later on. One of the important things for us as board members, I believe, to keep in mind is that we must come through in humility and a willingness to give. If you as a board member are not willing to take the time that's needed, you're not going to feel a part of the work. And the importance of coming through in humility, I think those are very important things. And sometimes we find ourselves short of that. But we can take the challenge to improve, to make amendments, to make it right. Part of our purpose here this morning, too, I believe, is to encourage the faithful, to refresh the weak. You think about your own experience. To help the new board member, and to exhort the weak and the lax. How many new board members? Is there anyone who doesn't have a copy of the sheet? Is that what you're asking? Raise your hand if you do not have a handout. There's at least one up here. There's one up here. Raise your hand there. Is there more than one? Okay. How many of you are on the board for the first time this year? Okay, we have some. We're here to encourage and to try to help you to see through some of these processes. And one thing that I'd like to hear from you as well, or a couple of things, and you can be thinking about it. What are some good ways for the board to interact with the teachers and the students? Not necessarily the parents, but the teachers and the students. And also, I'd like to have some input from you on your function of the board meeting itself. I've wondered already whether the way we do it may be different, or maybe we're missing some main points in our board meetings. You know, I never sat in your board meeting. So I'd like to have some feedback from you on that, and also the interaction between the teacher, the board, the teachers, and the students. One of my concerns as a board member in looking at the future of our schools, the future of our children, is that we remain sound in our education and that our association for our children remains pure and upright. If we lose that vision, I'm afraid there's danger ahead. The association for our children. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. I'd like to refer to a couple of verses there about Moses. And if our children can have this goal, this vision, I think we're coming through. There's something that they're learning. Ephesians chapter 11, verses 24, 25, and 26. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses chose rather. Can we bring our students to the point where they would rather choose? They would rather choose the ways of God? Individually, you're going to need a heart for the work. You're going to need a willingness to take that time like we had talked about. At the moment, think back of your students at school, your own children, and it'll warm your heart. It's beautiful. It can warm your heart. Do you have a concern for the oncoming generation? Moving on into the first point, the effectiveness in promoting a vision. Again, I basically want to reinforce what our brother shared this morning in our vision topic. One question I would ask in our purpose, and I'd like to have some response from you: why do we have a board? Why do we have a school board? Why don't we just appoint teachers and they run the school? Anyone? Why do we have a board? Okay. There's safety. Is there another one?
Direction and school matters.
Okay. Safety and direction. Generally, there's... Should there be wisdom among the school board? And I think... Let's hear. I have a few jotted down here. What are some other reasons why we need the school board? Why we need you? Why it doesn't work if you're lax? Yes.
The school is an arm of the church, and the board is the tie between the two. Should be.
Okay. So there can be that connecting link in bringing that vision from the church right on into the school so that there can be a working together. And I think an accountability comes in here too. And I think a board, I think it's important that there's some continuity too in the board. Maybe we'll touch on a little bit of that later. But the idea of an accountability, one to another, the teachers being accountable to the board and the board being accountable to the church or the ministry and those responsible, I think there's a level-headedness that comes through when there's a board. If we would just turn it over to the teachers, that could possibly work in a situation where there's long-term teachers or principals that, well, again, would almost work like a board, but where there's a rotation, could become difficult. What is our purpose for the school? I had mentioned about the importance of bringing them to a fear of God or to having them set their hope in God. And as we look at promoting a vision or understanding our purpose, I believe that it's important that we as a board have similar goals and visions. If you as a board cannot see things together, you may if too many of you can't see things together, you may be at the wrong place. I'm going to say that graciously. There may be the idea that I need to change my ways or I need to consider yours. But if our goals are so different and we're pulling in such different directions, you may be at the wrong place. And I take that with a grain of salt, but we need to pull together. We need to be able to pull together, have the same visions, the same goals. Moving on to letter B, developing support. I believe this can be contagious, and I think that the support that we as a board promote, I think can be contagious to even for the church to want to help support financially. What is our attitude toward the school, the work of the school, our involvement? Be positive about the work of the school, and I think it can work. I'll share a little incident, a story that an older brother told me, and in fact, before I forget it, I wanted to recommend a book. Brother Lester Showalter wrote a book on bringing their children with them. Had to do with the building of the or starting of the Paradise School in Maryland. And this story that I'm about to relate is partly what brought that to my attention here. But there was an older brother who shared with me that at a time when they were building a school, they were building the building, there were individuals who made the comment at the Frolics that, and I think they detested being there, but they made the comment they're not sure if this is as bad as the slaves in Egypt or not. They really didn't want to be there. Friends, our schools are going to struggle if we have that type of an attitude. Get that book. Brother Lester Showalter wrote that, bringing their children with them, I believe. And it may well be here today. You and I are building on top of some things that have been established in the past, many of us. Let's appreciate those. along the idea of support. I'm encouraged of a case where there's a grandparent from out of state who's helping the school fund for his grandchildren. Now that's support. He doesn't live right there, but he's supporting. Let's thank those brethren that are doing that. Another account years ago when I was younger, I remember a man challenging us about how easily would we give up our own schools. And if I'd mentioned his name, some of you would probably know him. At the time, I didn't quite see through what he was saying, but he asked the question, how easily would we give up our schools if the government would clamp down on us? Would we be willing to face some resentment or persecution? How easily would we give up? Something to that effect. I never forgot that. Right at the time, I probably didn't agree with him totally, but the more I see, the more I understand, that brother was thinking. Brother was thinking. Moving on to the sharing of the enthusiasm. Your enthusiasm as a board member can be displayed in various ways. Might ask the question, what about your interest in, say, field trips or maybe a school open house? Do the teachers, the children sense your interest in that? Do you have ideas on ways that, benefits that you've experienced or in ways of sharing an enthusiasm? What are some things that can help in sharing that enthusiasm? I'll relate one story then of something that happened just recently. In fact, I said earlier this week. But from you, what are some things that help to share in the enthusiasm? Okay, be there, visit. It takes time, but that's appreciated. I believe it was Monday morning, our upper grade teacher gave me a call. I knew it might be coming. One of the parents, they were cooking maple syrup, and they had mentioned something about the possibility of the school children coming over there, and so our school teacher called me and wondered about how this would work or if we could get the children to their place. And we had a very interesting time. I took one board member's van and we hauled the children to that site, which for us it's a little easier to do than if you'd have 100 students. But the children helped to gather the sap. They were helping with the process, and we had butter bread and maple syrup. I mean, the idea and the setting, you about couldn't get it better. We had a very enjoyable time. The children enjoyed that. Sometimes we have to be willing to take time for the inconvenient. Interaction with the students will enthuse them in their work. It has that effect. The dads who work with their sons, it'll also help there. Okay.
One thing that I've enjoyed for the past several years is on a snowy, wintry day to go out there and pop popcorn for the whole school. They smell it a while before they get some, get a little drink with it, play some ping pong. It takes time, but it is.
And those are healthy things that can be done, and it adds variety for the teachers and the students. There are some things of variety that I don't think we should have in our schools, but there are some of these things that are healthy, and they're good. They're educational. Maybe we'll get to some of that field trip thing later. Yes, brother.
One school board member brought in his main lift because the school was studying how atmospheric pressure can lift liquids, and he proved with the hose that you can't lift the liquid beyond a certain point, but he he went to that time and expense to do that. It was a real blessing. The school permitted enthusiasm. Another school board member got in contact with a man that was with the railroad, Operation Lifesaver with Burlington Northern, and they have railroad engineers committed to all the schools and the taxi companies and whatnot. But everybody was interested in the school.
Okay. Some of those things can start with the ideas of you board members. Okay, I think we're going to move on to the effectiveness in taking responsibility. The various roles, understanding the role that you have. Why you could ask the question, why the different roles? But that helps to spread things out. The secretary, the treasurer, the chairman, there could be a vice chairman, the minister. It helps to bring a balance. Why the different roles? Point B, willing for commitment. If we have the idea that we're in this to give rather than for what we can get out, it's going to make a difference. Remember, what can I give to the work of the school rather than what can I get out of it? It's going to help your commitment. Remember that you need to be willing to do the inconvenient. If you're going to wait to do things until you have the right time, well, you know the rest. Maybe there's someone that it doesn't suit him to come for devotions. Are you willing to fill in? What about substituting for your teachers? Recently heard of a board who was substituting for their teachers, and I had thought of the idea of stopping in at the school, at least opening a door and looking in, but I didn't get that far. Blesses my heart when I see and hear of board members that are substituting for their school. That's a way to be involved. Lord bless you for that. Letter C, of the idea of completing your assignment. You know, we decide things at board meetings, and this brother is responsible for this brother for to buy the new basketballs, or whatever it might be. I find myself failing in this. Completing the assignment, making sure that that's done. And I've appreciated, I'll give you an example. Say the secretary is responsible to get the schedule ready for the parent-teachers meeting. Well, we forget about it. Well, here it comes. Students bring it home, or it's at the church mailbox. It's getting done. The things are being accomplished. And along with completing your assignment, I think we need to be willing to do the lowly tasks. Turn with me to Luke 22, verse 26 to 27. Couple of verses here. Luke 22, 26 and 27. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. Could Jesus not have been the one that sat at the table and was served? Yes, but he was willing to serve. Let's be willing to do the lowly tasks. Taking responsibility of hiring teachers. I think we need to be careful who we hire. Let's remember that the teachers that are in our classrooms have a tremendous influence on the lives of our children. The attitudes they're portraying. What car is sitting at the front of the school? Is it portraying an image to our young boys that is not good? What kind of an influence do they have? Let's help our teachers to uphold the standards of our church or even their home congregation where they come from. Let's allow our teachers freedom. Give them some rope. Allow them some freedom. As board members, I think we need to be thinking ahead of new teachers. If this teacher says no, who for next year? And I think at the same time, we don't want to be too high-pressured on our teachers. Let's give them the time to sort through things, decisions they have to make. How many here provide room and board for your teachers? Well, there's a number. Obviously, out of state or out of community teachers coming in, how many of you know that your teachers are satisfied with their pay? Don't necessarily, you think about that one. Teachers satisfied with their pay. I realize sometimes we may decide on a salary or an amount for our teachers that maybe you think is not what it should be. But do you realize that a bag of groceries, paying their electric bill, maybe helping to fix their car, those are also ways that we can help pay? Those are ways that we can help our teachers. Moving on into the board meeting aspect of it, contributing ideas. I'd like to hear from you, what are some causes and reasons why people close up at board meetings? Anyway, what are some reasons that people, that board members will close up? You have any ideas?
Differences of opinion.
Okay, differences of opinion. So there may be some conflict there. Anything else? Yes.
Maybe not so much differences, but how the differences are related here.
How it's worked, or oh, you mean how it's given, or the context that it's given? Okay. We do want our board members to speak up, and there will be some who are always quiet. And there may be some who are quiet because. Anyone else? Yes?
Might be required to add action to their words.
Okay. Maybe fear of being given responsibility. Yes?
Another thing can make us cause a problem is when we're married to our ideas, but we don't know where our person and our idea starts and stops. An idea is simply like a card in the hand. It ought to be able to be shuffled.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're attached to that idea and your personality and your person that you get along with it, nothing works so well.
There's times that we need to be willing to lay our ideas down. I've experienced that. Maybe I came to the meeting and I had this idea, this agenda, this project that we would like to do, and it fell flat. What do I do now? You know, the idea of fear of failure, I think, too, maybe giving the wrong thought or the wrong suggestion, I think, can be a fear or a reason for people to close up. And also, a harsh contradiction, I think, can be a reason for people to close up. If they're always challenged, they're going to fear that. So let's be thinking about this. Let's be willing to speak up, but then also if someone else does speak up, let's listen to what they're saying. Be willing to express your concerns. Moving on to the good record keeping. Some input. What is the value of taking minutes? Why do we bother taking the minutes? Or maybe you don't. Anyone? Yes?
2 years later, something comes up and you have new board members on and they don't remember something that was discussed in the past. You have one board member who says, well, I think we talked about that several years ago. So you go back and look. Sure enough, there it is. You made a decision. That doesn't mean you can't change your decision or make a different one at that point in time, depending where you the board, where what the decision is. But it gives you a basis of what to go off of for the future. And if you're questioning what's taking place in the board meetings or someone here is that, well, this is something you as a board have discussed. You really haven't laid it out in the open to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And someone says, well, what are you talking about? You can go to your minutes, you can pull it out and say, this is what we've discussed. And we haven't made a decision yet.
Okay. Very, very valuable. Good thought. I appreciate that. Sounds familiar. We've done that different times. Go back. Or maybe you dig the old file out from last year or your minute book. And it also helps to bring up to the surface unfinished business. That's one thing that I like. We had discussed this last meeting, but we didn't finish it. For the treasurer, be accurate. Be open. If there is a discrepancy, you know, be open about it. We can make mistakes. The treasurer's report, maybe even reporting how the funds are doing, or maybe if the treasurer is not on the board, maybe someone from the board should be finding out, you know, how are the funds doing. You probably have a system and a way of paying those that have bought items, you know, make so that those things get paid. If the teachers buy supplies and you have agreed to pay those things, make so it gets taken care of. The idea of, or the aspect of being organized. Being organized. When our discussion gets off track, by the way, is that all bad? I think sometimes some discussion on things other than the agenda can be good. It can help break the ice. It can maybe defuse a situation. But there are times when we need to bring things back on track. How do we regain that? We may have to stop a thought or a story in the middle, but we do need to stay on track. One thing that I was wondering about making a decision as a board, for you larger boards, how do you come to a decision? Say we have, 9-member board? We know that there's varied opinions. Do you actually take a vote, or do you just make sure that there's a consensus and it? Any of you larger schools want to share on that? Yes?
We as a board, when we discuss something that we want to make a final decision on, someone, a part of the board besides the chairman, has to make a motion to make a vote, and then we vote. Get a motion and a second, and then we vote.
So you do take an actual vote?
We take an actual vote.
Okay.
When we want to make a final decision, and that's basically on any decisions that we make that, you know, have any effect on what takes place at school.
Are there 3-member boards here who take an official vote? Maybe I'm putting you on the spot. Okay? As well. Maybe that's something we can improve. Generally, we have a 3-member board, and generally we try to make sure that we're all agreed on the issue before we go on. But seldom do we actually take an official vote. Yes.
Those official votes then should be in the minutes.
Okay, good thought. Those votes should be in the minutes. Again, for reference, referring back to that. And I think if there's major decisions that come up, say between board meetings, someone asks the chairman about a certain thing, be careful to make too major of a decision on something without bringing it to the board. Now, the maple sugar thing, I didn't call the other board. We went ahead and did it. Yes?
What would the percentage be to pass an issue when it's voted on?
Okay. Any thoughts on that? What percentage should it be in order to pass something? Do you have any varieties in your situations?
Two-thirds.
Anyone 51%? Okay. So, yes?
I've never served on the board, but I've sat in many board meetings.
Okay.
And I think in our 5-member board, generally, they want a consensus. I don't recall ever having a close vote and installing a policy or whatever. The other thing about organized board chairmen have varied quite a bit in how they conduct the meeting. preside over them. But the most effective meetings have been held by people who continually bring the board back to the main question at hand until it's resolved in some way or other.
Okay. Brother Meyer?
Because this is brotherhood, it's not business or softball. And we usually, we have four on the board with the minister. And usually if it's something we can't come to a good consensus on, we take it further, we just take it to the church. First to the ministry and then further advice, take it to the church. But our situation is different than some because we are the only church, the only school. There's only one church that's sending children to this school. We're not a board that presides over three churches.
Okay. I think it's beautiful if the board can come to a consensus and that so that there can be most everyone feeling the same way. I think that's beautiful.
Once a decision is made, then it's understood that every board member supports that decision.
Okay. That is important, that we stand together as a board so that we don't come through with different voices. There's strength in that. Usually doesn't work if mom says one thing and dad something else, does it? And back to the idea that if you find yourself in a situation where you do not feel comfortable with the function, the structure, the way the school is operated all the time, you may be at the wrong place. But there again, if I'm always pushing my point and I'm just wanting my way, maybe I need to reconsider. Maybe I need to be willing to give in, to help and support rather than just, and promote rather than just always tear down and pull back. Moving on to effective relationships, there are some points here that I'd like for us to remember, to consider. And back to our question about ways that the board can be involved in interaction with the students and the teachers. These things can build relationships, whether good or bad. And I'd like to hear from you on some ways that we as a board can interact or that you interact with your teachers and students. Anyone? Or maybe... Yes?
We take donuts in once a month.
Okay. For just the teachers or the students as well? Teachers and students. Okay. Is that during the day or, I mean, at the end of the day or like at lunchtime?
At the beginning. Usually in the morning.
In the morning? Okay. Or maybe you've seen how someone else has done it and you were impressed with that. Feel free to share those as well. Anyone else? What are ways that you interact? Yes.
Teachers were too timid to say anything, but the school board finally discovered that the morning time is under pressure, and the teachers were, so they did it in the evening.
Okay.
And that was much better.
That morning schedule can be tight. Okay. Well, communicate. I mean, the board may think well of the idea, but it could be causing a conflict. Was there another one back here? Yes. Do any of you board members stop in during recess to help the children at recess time? I think that's beneficial.
Perspective from one of my sons one day commented that he likes when so-and-so board member stops in and visits school. He walks around and he sees stuff. He points at an answer on my paper and wonders why I put that down.
Okay.
There's an interaction there that the children enjoy. They were some mixture maybe between pleased and apprehensive.
Mm-hmm.
They had the right effect.
I've done a certain amount of that where I sit in the classroom during session and I've wondered, well, maybe I shouldn't. And a lot of times I'll sit beside my own children's desks, but I have sat beside other children's desks, and I think there's a certain amount of apprehension, but the more you do it, the more at ease they will be. And be gracious about it. But I think, let me insert this in case I forget it. If you as a board only show up at school when there's trouble, and I think there are cases like that. I remember back to my school days, and it's a little bit what I had in mind. I probably don't have the best of memory, but let's be careful. If that's the only time you show up, we're telling our students something. Our teachers are also sensing that. Your teachers will share if they sense that you have time and that you are concerned about their needs. Remember that no question or no issue is too small not to listen to. Afterwards, you might think, well, really, couldn't you have taken care of that yourself? But don't allow them to feel that it's not worth your time.
Another thing you could do as a school board visiting school, ask the teacher for some papers to correct while you're visiting.
You know, that's an interesting challenge, and I got very close to that here recently, but I didn't quite do it yet. But I had heard that challenge somewhere else in the past year, and I thought, no, you know, that's worth thinking about. Helping to grade some of those papers. Maybe they can get home a little sooner, too. Yes?
I just did that yesterday morning, visiting school before we come out here, and a teacher was very excited. She said, oh, yes. I said, she quit.
Okay.
That was the first time I heard that.
What do you think the students think if you write a little note on the top and they realize who it's from? That could help, too. You know, in our communicating with the teachers, there's times that I have forgotten to get back to the teachers with a decision, something the teachers were wanting to know, or maybe a decision they wanted to have addressed, or an issue. And we as a board discussed it, we decided on the issue, and I forgot to let them know of our decision. You know, we do that sometimes, but let's try to improve. Show appreciation to your teachers personally. You know, each class, each teacher, show an interest in their own personal room. Maybe make a comment on the decor in their room or their bulletin boards or, you know, various things. They've put time and effort into those things. Being confidential. I think that's very important as being confidential. You know, sometimes there's maybe a troubled student or maybe a slow learner. It seems his name always comes up at the board meeting. You know, how do we work with this? It's up again. Let's be confidential about our discussion. And sometimes we need to be speaking about things that are not the easiest. And we don't need to broadcast. Even our wives, I think, should be careful and not just broadcasting information, some of the information that's discussed at the school board meeting. Working with the difficult. You know, that comes up. Working with the difficult. It could be difficult board members or students. Some input from you. How do we exhort the lax and unmotivated or the difficult board member? Is there a way that you have found to help with that enthusiasm? Or maybe the one who always challenges everything that's said? Does anyone have a thought to share how to help their attitude?
I
Maybe he's sitting here this morning. You know, those are touchy issues. It's not always easy to work through that. But the next board meeting, we face it again. Or maybe they come to the next meeting and the responsibilities are not taken care of. What he was assigned to do did not get done.
I've seen some of that happen, but I think probably one key would be to talk privately to the person instead of front of all the other board members.
You know, and the idea along with that, sometimes it's the board member's children who are at fault, or maybe my own. And especially if it's the other board member's children that are at fault, I think your idea of talking privately, I think, can be beneficial at times too. Maybe the one board member speaks with the other outside of the meeting about that problem. I'm not sure if it's the best idea to be bringing up that whole thing in front of the whole board. Address them as a parent, as an individual. You know, at times we're going to have parents that are difficult to work with too. And I had an experience, or maybe a few. If you're willing to sit down with those parents, maybe you'll even go to their home. I did. Be willing to listen to their account. Let them defuse. You may not feel the best, but let them defuse and see their side. But along with that, I think you can help them to see the need of support. But I appreciated that thought, Brother Enos, about approaching a board member or maybe outside of the meeting. I think we're going to close with that unless someone else has another thought. There were some things about school policies and curriculum. I think we do have some curriculum issues coming up here later in the meeting. Read the couple verses at the end. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's keep in mind that our goal, the thing that we're striving for, is the saving of our children. So that our children can have a faith in God that is strong and that lasts. Thank you.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.